Welcome back to Faith and Reason. We have with us Jack Maxey, Father James Altman, and Elizabeth Yor. This is going to be a very interesting show. We're going to discuss something that just happened at the Vatican this week. Unbelievably, a call from an archbishop to stop the church's mission to the Jews. We're going to review Pope Francis' history on a similar question, as well as the insanity that you just saw happen with regard to Joe Biden and Barack Obama. Hugely controversial. And since we have Jack Maxey with us, we can go right into the Hunter Biden laptop and how that plays out specifically toward his dad, Joe Biden. You're going to want to stay tuned to Faith and Reason.
Is it time for prayer?
Yes, Father, it's time for prayer. Why don't you go ahead?
Let us put ourselves in the presence of the very Christ who came to save us, who in the presence of our Father who sent his Son so that all might believe in him. And let us pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, send your Spirit down upon us. The Spirit you sent at Pentecost, inspire us to make us courageous, to go out and preach the message of your Son, which was to convert the world to him, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father. So we're going to start off very controversially. There was just a conference on Monday in Rome, set up with the Vatican and an archbishop there who is quite well known to most LifeSite readers, maybe not to many, but his name is Archbishop Bruno Forte. He was actually the one who, back in the Extraordinary Synod on the Family, which created much controversy, was the one responsible for putting into the document a portion that talked about the positive elements of homosexual relationship, creating a huge stir. But this is what he had to say on Monday. And LifeSite was there, our Rome correspondent, Louis Konufki, and he asked a very interesting question as well. But here's what was said. The Italian archbishop talked about and proposed that Jews do not need to accept the faith in Christ. And for this reason, all Christians should, and I quote, end the active mission to the Jews. Now, this was Monday, April 4th, during an interreligious dialogue conference held at the Angelicum in Rome, which is one of the major universities there, one of the Vatican universities there. And it was Archbishop Bruno Forte, of the Diocese of Chieti Vasto in Italy, and he delivered a lecture on the perspective of the Catholic Church on Judaism and its claim to possession of the Holy Land. And in this, and these are the direct quotes, Forte proposed, among other things, that in order to foster Judeo-Christian relations that are purified of, now get this, purified of, and I quote, every form of anti-Semitism, end quote. And that basically Christians should no longer hold and preach that Jews must accept faith in Christ as a normative for salvation. He said, and I quote it again, these are the direct quotes, "We call upon all Christian denominations that have not yet done so to follow the example of the Catholic Church and excise anti-Semitism from their liturgy and doctrines, to end the active mission to the Jews, and to work toward a better world hand in hand with us, the Jewish people," end quote. So I think, Father, pride of place on this one belongs to you. So what do you have to make of that?
This kind of movement, this apostasy, has been going on since, you remember in the old, well, it's not the old rite, it is still the present rite, no matter what Bergoglio and his ilk have to say. But in the traditional Latin Mass, when it came time on Good Friday, when we pray for various people of the world, it used to say, and we had said for millennia, the perfidious Jews, which means the faithless Jews. They who did not have faith in Jesus, despite the miracles performed right in front of their face, they crucified him. And then they said, let his blood be on us and on our children. And then, of course, in the year 70, what, 37 years later, 600,000 plus were wiped out, man, woman, and child. What kind of sign did they need? I don't know. That's a pretty big sign to me. But if you're a Christian, I don't care whether you're just not Catholic. If you're a Christian, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, go and baptize all nations. That includes Israel. All nations, teaching all peoples everything that I have taught you. And of course, our Blessed Mother, you know, at the wedding feast of Cana, if you're a Christian, you believe in the miracle at Cana. She said, do whatever he tells you. And what did he tell us to do before he ascended into heaven? His last testament was to baptize every people. That means convert every people. Because as he told Nicodemus, unless you are baptized in water and the Spirit, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the Son being Jesus, unless that happens, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Well, I was hoping since 2014, we haven't heard much from Bruno Forte. I was hoping he had been farmed out because of the scandal he brought to the Synod on the Family, which was really not about the family, the most integral part of a civilized society, a mother and father and children, but was used as an excuse to promote by Forte, who wrote the interim report of this family synod to remind everybody. And he, by the way, was handpicked by Bergoglio to the shock and scandal of many. This is what Forte wrote in the interim report that was just caused an explosion. Homosexual unions can exhibit mutual aid to the point of sacrifice, which constitute a precious support in the life of partners. That's Bruno Forte promoting homosexual unions at the Synod and the Family. There's an interesting article in 2005 written by the great Christopher Ferrara about Bruno Forte, who back in 2005 was denying the resurrection of Christ. So this is not an unusual step or an unusual person to choose to bring forth the scandalous argument. You know, we've seen throughout the papacy, Pope Francis, you know, talking about, you know, the horrors of proselytizing, that Catholics should not, you know, talk about, you know, the faith. You'll recall in 2019, the Abu Dhabi Declaration. And in that declaration, he said, God wills all religions, which Schneider and Vigano both were described that as scandalous, an apostasy, that God does not will all religions. So this is what I think is going on with this big conference. My sense of this is laying the groundwork for the one world religion. Father, you've talked about it extensively in our conversations here. That's what's going on here. It's never about, you know, what the subject matter appears to be. It's always this underlying agenda with the Abu Dhabi Declaration to say all religions are equal, with the Pachamama idol. Even the pagan, quote unquote, religion will be honored in the Vatican. So all religions are being placed on one angle so that the one world religion can come in and scoop them all up together. And additionally, it is to, I believe, silence any talk about proselytizing or bringing people into the faith. And so it's a muzzle. It's a form of censorship for all Christians.
As you said, Liz, he was handpicked. What does that tell you about Bergoglio? And doesn't it make sense now? See, well, I get really mad. Bergoglio, you are irrelevant to a Catholic, to a faith. You are completely irrelevant. Your office is relevant, but your office is a deposit of faith.
And of course, who is one of the greatest 20th century martyrs is the Jewish convert to the faith, Saint Edith Stein. And, you know, she, you know, opening up the book and reading the lives of the saints and being moved to convert to the Catholic faith. And so in many respects, it's a slap in the face to Edith Stein.
Now, Jack, you yourself are a convert, not too recently, but a convert nonetheless. What's your take on this?
Well, I've been a convert for 8 years. As I say, I'm more like Francisco than the scholars, but I think that we need to take basic principles to heart, right? It's one thing to say that we should not promote anti-Semitism. I completely agree. But to say that we should not be able to pray for the conversion of people and to pray for their souls. I mean, for example, he's over in the Middle East trying to cut a deal with the Arabs, and you're not even allowed to have a church in most of those countries. So why is he trying to kiss up to these people? I don't understand it. I will tell you, I have many dear Jewish friends, and some of them have had tremendous impacts on my life. To upturn 2,000 years of tradition every week with some new scheme of theirs to me seems very frightening. And what does this mean for the faith of our grandparents and our great-grandparents and all who came before? Was the church lying then and now they're telling us the truth? If truth is truth, then it is immutable. And I think that they have lost their faith. I've said it many, many times. Fear is just a loss of faith. And I feel as if I'm living faith right now, because most people would tell me what I'm doing is pretty crazy. I just try to concentrate on the words of our Savior. And I keep our mother handy all the time. And at the same time that we condemn Bergoglio, we really should pray for his conversion to the faith too, because he is doing incredible damage, particularly in the third world, particularly in places where there are mostly Franciscos, just like me. To have them be drawn to a faith, particularly when you look at Africa and Latin America, and you wonder why the church is failing in Latin America. It's failing because it's filled with priests just like Bergoglio. It's filled with these lukewarm, which our Savior told us that's what gave him the most pain on the cross. And here, their whole church is being led by the lukewarm. I mean, to me, it's all very sad and very frightening. And it's something that I think will test the faithful. And we were told that we would be tested, and we certainly did not believe that we would be tested by the leadership of our own church. But that is what is happening right now.
You call it, they're lukewarm. But I would say that these shepherds, of these false shepherds, these wolves in sheep's clothing, there's nothing lukewarm about their agenda. They are full on, full court press on their agenda. There's nothing lukewarm about their agenda. They don't believe in the Catholic Church or the Catholic faith or the positive faith. They're going at this full bore. I don't think they're lukewarm. I think they're just profoundly evil and trying to force that evil upon all of us.
Lukewarm in the context of them professing to be Christians, but neither being hot nor cold. And so in some respects, I think they must be breaking Christ's heart right now.
Yeah.
And then certainly the Sacred Heart of Mary must be cracking as she looks down upon what they've done. So to me, when I see this kind of behavior, it just renews my faith in the true church and into her true teachings.
We have with us at LifeSight a great convert as well. You all know her as Mother Miriam. She's a convert from Judaism. Mother Miriam's take on all of this very much speaks to what Bruno Forte said. She talks about it being anti-Semitism, but exactly the opposite of what Bruno Forte said. The anti-Semitism is in not providing the truth, the fullness of the faith of Jesus to the Jews. And as you said, Jack, when you were mentioning about Our Lady and Our Lord looking down from heaven, it's their own people. They themselves were Jewish, culturally speaking, and this is where they want. Remember, our Lord said he would weep for the children of Israel. He would gather them like a hen under his wings. And this is in the scriptures where it's so clear that he's lamenting over his own people and his great love for them. We're also told in the end, they will convert. They will look upon him whom they pierced. We see that in the scriptures, but this is very powerful. I must say, I was really proud of our Rome correspondent, Louis Konefki, who was at the meeting. He challenged Archbishop Forte, and we can watch him give it on video here.
You called for an end to the active mission to the Jews on the part of the church. And it seemed that you joined that with an apparent anti-Semitism, or you present it as something that can foster anti-Semitism. So my question is, if in the gospel our Lord himself and the apostles clearly preach first to the Jews and call them specifically to faith in Christ as Savior, if we end an act of apostolate to the Jews, how do we avoid the accusation, one, that we are not being faithful to Jesus in his mission to the Jews, And two, how do we avoid the accusation of not being honest about the gospel in this dialogue with the Jews? It seems that a dialogue requires that we be clear about what we believe as Christians, which is that all men must believe in Christ as Savior.
Very proud of our Rome correspondent, Louis Konefki. And as you mentioned earlier, Father, we do have an article at LifeSite by an amazing correspondent of ours, Michael Haynes, who is in the UK and covers a lot of what goes on at the Vatican for us. An incredible summary roundup, if you will, analysis of Pope Francis himself on the issue of actively working against conversion. He points out, and I encourage people to go and read the article by Michael Haynes on Pope Francis's from this week. Please check it out. But he points out how Pope Francis has talked about not converting. In fact, while he was still Archbishop in Buenos Aires, then Archbishop Bergoglio was all about not having the Anglicans convert to Catholicism. He had a conversation with an Anglican leader about Pope Benedict's move to create the Anglican Ordinariate, which, as most of you probably know, is where a whole bunch of Anglicans were able to come into the Catholic Church with their own rite, because they have a very beautiful rite, which is basically like an English version of the old Roman Rite liturgy. In other words, it's a traditional Mass, but in English, in the vernacular. And so it's a very beautiful liturgy. It's called the Anglican Ordinariate right now. And but Bergoglio at the time said that he wasn't in favor of that. It wasn't needed, that the Anglicans should not convert. But over the years, we've come to know as Pope Francis, that's very common. Pentecostal leader Tony Palmer, who wanted to convert to the faith, was also told by Pope Francis not to. And then finally, he is condemned over and over again, in his words, the very grave sin of proselytism, calling especially out when people thought to give the fullness of faith also to the Orthodox. And I'll quote it, Pope Francis said, we should never proselytize the Orthodox, and how this is a very grave sin. So maybe we'll start this time with you, Jack, if you have any comments on that, the Pope's own working against the call to the conversion, the call to invite people to the fullness of faith.
For the American listeners out there, the patriotic ones, there's a wonderful story in the biography of Chesty Puller called Marine, where he's at Guadalcanal, and Chesty Puller very much believed that officers should lead at the front, put himself in danger multiple times. I think he got his third Navy Cross at Guadalcanal. He's at his command post about 200 yards behind the lines, coming back, going back and forth, exposing himself to fire, and he sees these Episcopalian priests there, these naval chaplains, and they demand a meeting with him. And he says, listen, guys, I don't have much time, but what's this all about? They say, you've got to do something. He said, there have been already a dozen conversions to Catholicism on the front line. You know, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, those padres are up there with the men. Maybe you should be there too. And that's the kind of priests that we need. Ones who are willing to put themselves in danger, not just for their faith, but for their flock.
It strikes me as Jesus has to bring in the faithful, because his Pope and prelates don't believe in spreading the faith, in the beauty and truth of the deposit of the faith. You know, it was his atheist friend, the 90-year-old journalist Scalfari, who claimed that Pope Francis said, all atheists go to heaven. Now, whether or not that was Scalfari just ad-libbing, it was never denied by the Vatican. But that kind of scandalous statement really undermines the work of the missionaries who are laying down their lives in Nigeria and Sudan, in Ethiopia, you know, to bring the faith to all corners of the earth. So it falls on us, the laity, the responsibility to bring the faith to the unfaithful, to live good and holy lives, to inspire people to say, I want to be like that. People who look at Jack Maxey and Father Altman and look at their courage and say, it must be the faith that gives them that courage. That's the kind of witness that is required. Not only do we preach and talk about the faith and how much we love it, but our actions have also to reflect it.
We're going to segue into a really, it would be really humorous if it wasn't so sad. This latest display from Joe Biden with Barack Obama was unbelievable. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for Americans to see that this is their leader on the world stage. Canadians have no right to be any superiority. Justin Trudeau's a joke as well. But let's watch this, and I'd love to hear your reaction to it. You're all Americans. So tell us, what do you make of this?
To me, this is the preceding of what's going to be a coup. Clearly, there's no respect for Joe Biden anymore. They've literally turned their back on him in that clip. And he has become a persona non grata in the Democratic Party. They know what's coming. The laptop has really exposed, it's like the Band-Aid ripped off the Democratic left, the Biden crime family, as he's called. So I think the handwriting's on the wall, thanks to Jack, thanks to Jack's two-year perseverance to enforce his will on the American media, public government, to ensure that the American people see the truth of their leaders.
Jack, you're the man of the hour, quite literally, in very many respects. Love to hear your take on this. And if you could take us from there to the latest update on what's happening with the laptop, especially as it pertains now to Joe Biden.
I think we need to look a little bit further back and say that Joe Biden was placed there to protect the bad actors inside the deep state. This would be CIA, Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, Panetta, FBI. In Hayden's case, I guess this NSA is not to be trusted either. And so he was an obvious dupe who could fulfill their need to remain hidden from the American people. It's been my objective to expose them all. This Hunter Biden's laptop is not simply an indictment of Hunter and his father. It's an indictment of the Western elite, both in government and outside of government. The whole time, my real motivation has been to try and save lives. I could never have imagined that in this period of time where I've been trying to tell the truth, that this administration would push the whole world to the brink of a catastrophe. This Pope also promotes this whole nonsense of green future. Well, that green future is turning 26 and a half pounds of corn that could be used to feed a starving child into gasoline to save what? You're already seeing the German Green Party is now blaming the Christian Democrats for converting to gas when they've been saying it all along, because now they're beginning to pay a price for their arrogance and their hubris. And I think we're going to see more and more of this as time goes on. As far as Joe Biden getting replaced, I believe that the Democratic Party has to replace Kamala Harris first. I think they've got to Spiro Agnew her in some way, because going from Joe to her is just from worse to worse. And I think they know that. We need to, I believe, every day go to our knees and humble ourselves as human beings, because it's the arrogance of individuals combined into organizations like the FBI and the CIA with unlimited power. I will tell you what's going on with the laptop now. And I said this the last time I was on. When we first arrived, we really only thought we were going to catalog 128,000 emails and make them searchable. And since then, we found thousands and thousands of documents, 100,000 or more new emails and twice that of new text messages that were hidden. And I think the Biden family should be paying attention too. We haven't gone through them yet, but it looks as if they were on an AT&T family plan of some sort, of Verizon family plan. And Hunter puts spyware on his entire family's phones. This is a really bad guy. And as I said, there's 80,000 images that we looked at. The first dozen said, guys, we have to stop immediately right now, because if we find something, we have to turn it all over to the authorities. And we know what happens when you turn things over to the authorities. It affects some progressive global leader. They get buried. So right now I'm making arrangements to make sure that this gets in the hands of several different global law enforcement agents, ones that are not beholden to the United States. Justice will be done. I believe that light always wins, and that's our job as the faithful to spread that light, be it through proselytizing, but mostly through our acts, right? One of the things that brought me to faith was not because somebody was constantly, you know, waving a Bible at me, but I just began to realize that the people I most respected in my life and the people who seemed to have the greatest kind of strength, I'm hoping that by the end of the weekend, I will have a server up. But I also have to recognize that I'm here by grace alone, and not just the grace of our mother, but by the grace of the Swiss people. So I'm trying very diligently to do everything properly and in a way that brings credit to we Americans, at least those of us who are the good ones, and also can bring information to the world that may avoid us getting in another war based upon lies. I gave this to Chuck Grassley and all the Republican leaders on the Judiciary Committee 10 months ago, over 10 months ago. And to think that they really have, or 9 months ago, they have not done anything. And to think of all the hardship that would have been avoided, I pray often for those 13 Americans who died in Afghanistan, because their lives would not have been lost if somebody had stood up in July and showed some courage.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think the American people are coming to the realization slowly, but nonetheless, that they have been betrayed by their government, by the top intelligence people, John Brennan, Clapper, et cetera, who denied, who said it was Russian disinformation on the laptop, that it wasn't legitimate. All the people that you gave the laptop to who wouldn't touch it, the censorship that went on around the laptop, the betrayal is just staggering. Right now, there's a federal grand jury that's convened in Delaware looking at Hunter Biden's financial activities. Do you have confidence in that federal grand jury? And especially in light of the latest revelation in this huge article that just broke before we came on, in the UK Daily Mail, the clip, the screenshot of Eric Schwerin, who is Hunter's partner, who apparently also does Joe Biden's taxes, claims that Joe Biden's tax refund check came in the mail. He was depositing it in Hunter's bank account. So it appears that there's a lot of, now from that email, just one email, a lot of commingling of finances between Hunter and his father, Hunter's business partner. And I think this is kind of the next step. Now that we've reached the hump of the laptop is real, the White House is desperately trying to say, oh, you know, but Joe has nothing to do with it. This is all Hunter's deal, not Joe. You're just providing evidence that it is Joe, that Joe is deeply embedded in this laptop. And I think you always said that Hunter was Joe's bagman. So confidence in the grand jury, and how do we break through with respect to Joe's complicity in this financial grift, theft, what I would argue is treason, in betrayal of the American people by the Biden family?
Most sins begin with the sin of greed, right? Whether it's sexual or money or whatever it is, right? It's desire overcomes our goodness. And that's certainly the sin of the Biden family, and also pride. I have confidence in a grand jury because they're a dozen Americans. So I have confidence in them. But a grand jury is only as good as the evidence that is brought before it. Now, one thing that I do find very disturbing is I called David Weiss, the U.S. attorney, two Fridays ago, and again last Friday, offering to provide him with the deleted information from the laptop. And the first call, when I called him, it was still quite serious because I hadn't gotten those Department of Defense root certificates that seemed to provide Hunter with administrative capabilities inside our Defense Department's communication system. And he never called me back. And now I've called him twice and I've received nothing. I first called the U.S. Embassy in Bern the Monday, it will be 2 weeks ago this Monday. They never called me back. So when they say there's a deep state, they really mean it. Joe Biden is completely culpable. There's clear evidence of commingling of their funds over time. Hunter, ironically, on Christmas Day of 2018, I believe it is, tells his daughter, at least you won't have to grow up like me, a guy who's taken care of every bill in his family for 30 years, and I still have to give 50% of my take to Pops, the big guy. So there's evidence of that all along. And if Joe never dealt with Hunter's business practices, why was Hunter flying on Air Force Two to go cut deals everywhere from Mexico to China? And also, there's something that I think really needs to be looked into. There's a woman named Kathy Chung, who Hunter hired for his father's vice presidential office, I believe in 2011 or 2012. And by 2016, when Hunter's working with Louis Free, another criminal, to free another criminal friend of Hunter's in Romania, in one of the correspondences, he asks Hunter, how do I get a hold of your dad? I don't think I have his new cell phone number. And Hunter says, if you want to speak to my father, you have to go through Kathy Chung. Now, this is in 2016. And remember, Hunter had hired her 4 or 5 years prior. And from being Hunter's hire in the vice president's office, she now was the gatekeeper by 2016. Is she still the gatekeeper? And she saw it sent every single day to Hunter's office, his national security briefing. Now, I'm guessing that this was a non-secret version, but why is she doing that? And you know that Hunter was forwarding this to everybody, and maybe it's not high level national security, but it certainly gives our enemies an idea of what the thinking is going on inside the White House.
What I'm concerned about is now Hunter's going to be the scapegoat, maybe Joe too, and he's a buffoon, so who cares, right? Throw that guy out. Oh, end of story, nothing, move along now, nothing to see here. But when Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, is deep with this, when Hillary Clinton destroys the evidence by smashing up her phones, I hope some of her cell phone things show up on this laptop. The whole lot of them are every bit as guilty. And what I don't want to see is, oh, we've served justice by using Hunter and Joe as the scapegoats. Because this is way beyond Hunter and Joe. They're only the gateway through which we're going to get at the rest of them. And that's why I'm just shocked that Hunter's still alive and that his laptop somehow comes to be in the hands. It's like manna from heaven, as I believe I said before. How is it that the real criminals, the puppeteers behind all this, are going to be held accountable? Who's going to do it? And I don't have much confidence in this. Oh, sure, Hunter's going to go down.
Once the American people have access to all the emails and millions of eyes can do their own research, think of all that's been uncovered with pretty much just me and Boswell at the Daily Mail looking through this stuff. I don't think there's any way they can escape it. And there are many forms of justice that are not necessarily judicial in nature. I want to see the people who are involved not be able to walk down the street without people sneering at them and condemning them. I want them kicked out of their country clubs. I want people to get up from a restaurant and leave when they see them walk in. I want them to know that the American people despise them and look at them upon them as traitors. And also, don't think that Obama's going to skate on this. He's not. There's a lot of things on there that reference Obama obliquely, but the deals that they were trying to do, Obama was knowledgeable. I mean, think about this. I mean, how does Obama, you know, show up at the White House with no money and he leaves with $500 million?
The American people, I think, when this is finally comes full circle, are going to realize that there's very few people that they can trust. You being one of the few people they can trust. And I'm thinking of those 51 intelligence officers that basically provided cover for censorship of the laptop. Did you think it was going to be as effective in silencing any kind of discussion of the laptop?
I knew it was a setup the moment I saw it. I mean, Liz, you've worked in many organizations. Tell me how you're going to get 50 people to sign a 5-page letter in a 24-hour period. It's an absolute impossibility unless the thing was preloaded. When we release all these emails, we will no longer have to rely on the feds to do their job. We can have local sheriffs, all of whom are running for re-election this fall, do their jobs, because all these crimes are state crimes as well. And I'll repeat it again, if the sheriff or the attorney general from Arkansas would like to call me, they used a Wells Fargo wealth management group in Fayetteville to run half of these dirty money deals. And I'd be happy to provide evidence. And I guarantee you somebody in that office will break. This is how you take down criminal organizations. You don't go after the Don. You go after one of the foot soldiers. And you make them break. And you look at them and say, you're going to jail for the rest of your life unless you cooperate. And they'll cooperate because there's no honor amongst thieves. And when it comes to the pictures, my biggest fear is because of the inappropriate of so many of the pictures that he did not erase and because of the inappropriate nature with many young girls that were seen in the very few that we looked at. My fear is that we are going to find, or somebody will find, when I can get a police agency with the courage to look at it, they're going to find things that likely will meet the statute for child pornography. Now, I don't think there's any coincidence that the Democrats put up a woman for the Supreme Court who wants to go soft on child abuse and child sexual crimes.
To me, this is the moment when the American people have to recognize, whether a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, that this choice of a judge is no coincidence. This is about normalizing pedophilia. This is about decriminalizing child pornography. This is the next hill that the left is going to force our culture to submit to. And it is the American people who need to use their voice, dig in their heels, pick up the phone, and protest, because this is an assault on the family. You know, John Henry every single day fights at LifeSite to protect the family, to protect the unborn. All of this is assaults, and the left never sleeps, right? We know that. The left never sleeps.
Freedom is the light for which many men have died in darkness. So we've got to be soldiers of light. We've got to be soldiers of our faith. And we've got to be soldiers of patriotism. And I want this laptop to be a litmus test for every single person running for office. Those who declare that they're going to get to the bottom of it have my support. Those who want to hem and haw and dance around it, then everybody will know clearly that they are not for the American people. They are not for justice. And certainly any senator who would vote for this judge, clearly, in my opinion, is an enabler of child abuse, is an enabler of pedophilia. And if you're out there listening, there's a lot of Democrat senators in purple states. And if we as faithful really want to do something, we should be attacking them as well as Collins and Murkowski and Romney. I'm quite shocked. I spent a lot of time out in the West around Mormons, and I always thought that they were much more family oriented than clearly their bishop of their church, Mitt Romney, appears to be. I think they should all be deeply offended. I don't know why he's not being run out of the state on a rail right now.
Unbelievable what's going on. Father, we're going to give you last word this time.
It seems to me there has to be a leader. And when you see even the interviews that are being taken place with that vile, despicable, godless woman for the Supreme Court, nobody like Chuck Grassley didn't do anything. Nobody's doing anything to speak clearly the absolute truth that you are a demoness from hell. How dare you even pretend? But the support and leniency abusing children is staggering. But what can we expect any different when our own bishops in the United States still won't go after the other bishops who permitted the cover-up? They're still in power. Why? How? Who's going to lead us? I mean, we can talk till the cows come home. The media isn't helping because they won't cover it. Even Fox News, very disappointing in their coverage of Ukraine, like as if they're saying, oh, it's Putin, Putin, Putin. That's not it. It's us. We're responsible for that disaster. We're not getting coverage of it. So who's going to lead us? I'm so frustrated. God help us.
The Lord helps those who help themselves.
Fair enough. And you're doing it. God bless you, Jack. I can't wait to hear more.
Listen, we've got a big fight, but we're going to win this thing, especially for us with faith. We know that. We've been told this by our Savior, and he never lets you down. So soldier on, be happy warriors, and let's take it all back.
That should especially be said to you, Jack. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Faith and Reason.